Is holy water a viable hangover cure? If leprechauns eat Lucky Charms, what cereal do other cryptids eat? Answers to these questions and more on this episode of
This Paranormal Life!
Welcome back to This Paranormal Life, the weekly comedy podcast where every Tuesday we dive into a different supernatural tale and decide by the end of the episode whether it's truly paranormal or not. As always, you're joined by me, veteran paranormal investigator, me, Kit Grimalvena, Rory Powers, who's sitting across from me. And today, Rory, that is not all. We actually have a special guest. You guys know him from Otherworld, the hit US podcast, where he explores the paranormal through insane witness testimonies. Plus, he's also an internet legend who goes by the name Versace Tamagotchi on Instagram. It's Jack Wagner. How the hell are you doing, Jack?
I'm doing great. It's very funny hearing my Instagram handle said out loud. For the record, I don't go by that in the day-to-day. People don't call me that in person, you know?
You've had it a long time, though, right?
I know. I've thought about changing it, but it's like...
No, man.
Everybody says don't.
I'm here for the reference to the throwback toys, because we actually recently on this podcast did an investigation into Furbies, whether or not you could turn them evil, whether or not they were actually possessed themselves. We actually have a bunch in the studio here that we kind of did some experiments on.
We had some testimony about cursed Furbies, yeah. So, I mean, these have... Thankfully, you'll be glad to know these have been decommissioned.
Yeah, there were a lot of stories of people who claimed to take the batteries out of their Furby and the Furbies would continue to talk afterwards. So it was a good episode.
Jack, you are our guest investigator today. I've got a crazy story that I'm going to tell both of you guys, but you have a big responsibility because you're going to decide at the end of this episode definitively, yes or no, whether it's real. Are you feeling up to the challenge?
Of course, 100%.
With guests, we do have to do a quick check to make sure they're not an MIB.
Right.
Jack, real quick, do you believe Roswell was aliens or a weather balloon?
Oh, God.
All right, he failed the first test. Moving on to test number two.
All right, guys, let's pay some bills. We got to do a quick sidebar.
What do you think?
We actually did a case the other day about a cryptid that descended on an English village in the Devon countryside in the 1800s, I'm pretty sure. And the official explanation was a f***ing weather balloon. So we're sick of weather balloons explaining everything in the paranormal.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I don't know enough about Roswell to be completely honest with you, but my serious answer is that I think sometimes there could be a bit of both going on. You know, Roswell's crazy. If you go there now, it's such a weird place. The other day, a pilot messaged me saying that he saw something weird in the desert and like sent me the GPS. And there's a giant swastika like on the ground that's like probably like a mile wide, and it's immaculate. It turned out, you know, I looked this up. It turned out to be a World War II era target. They're like testing bombs.
What?
And there was like tons of them, but of course the ones that the bombs hit aren't around anymore. But
yeah.
You know, so much of that area of the desert was like just empty land that was being used by the military to like blow up nukes and just do crazy stuff. And there's also a lot of weird stuff that happens out there. So
yeah, Roswell and aliens, we always say, is kind of an interesting one because it's a difficult thing to say that you believe in and you're passionate about, because usually you find a lot of people that agree with you, and then occasionally you get a DM from a pilot who says that the aliens are Nazis. And you're like, cool, bud, I don't know if I go that far, but like, right. good for you. You know, there's like so many branches of like believing in that kind of stuff, from the like mild to the very extreme and unique.
No, 100%, 100%. Okay, so I know that was a joke question, but I answered it seriously. What's the next one? Of the test.
We're here for it. No, we're ready to dive in. In fact,
well, sorry, before we do, you got the urine sample and the blood sample as well, because I know like the question was funny and stuff.
We're still waiting on the lab results on that one, but I'm hoping to get a call from Geneva in the next 45. On the theme of this week's story, guys, we're hardworking podcasters, but if ever you had a hard day at work and just thought to yourself, I just wish I could disappear. Lots of people probably dream of disappearing to the Bahamas. But what about to another dimension completely? And what if that happened to you, but accidentally?
I kind of wish I had disappeared the time I was working as an Italian waiter and I accidentally threw a glass of red wine in a woman's face.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, every spell I tried to cast, I did not.
Did you actually do that?
That is a true story, unfortunately.
It's a restaurant across the road from my parents' house, and he did get fired.
Yeah. I did get fired almost immediately.
God. That's really funny.
Yeah, the whole invisibility cloak thing would have been pretty nice in that situation.
We have lots to explore on today's story right after a couple of words from today's sponsors and a reminder that you can get every episode of This Paranormal Life ad-free on patreon.com/thisparanormallife.
Wow, you guys are pros.
Thank you.
Smooth with it. Smooth.
Thank you. Take great pride in Dan our Dills. Segues.
All right, let's rewind the clock to 1880. Gallatin, Tennessee, a small rural town just northeast of Nashville and the setting for today's case. Jack, have you ever been to Nashville? You're, of course, recording from LA right now.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
How does that rank to you as far as, did you get any vibes while you were there? Is that somewhere you think there might be a lot going on?
Paranormal? Not where I was, but it is a fun town. It's
like, I was in the clubs, baby.
I mean, a little bit. It is like, it's half really, really cool, like dive bars, dancing, things like that. Obviously, it's a big country town, but then there's also like the downtown Nashville. It's the current capital of bachelorette parties for some reason. So it's almost entirely bachelorette parties, and like all the touristy country clubs are on this one strip, and like Kid Rock has one, and it's 7 or 8 stories tall. It's a Kid Rock themed bar that's literally, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say it's 6 or 7 stories tall. Like, imagine being in a bar where there's like an elevator with multiple floors.
It's chaotic.
And it's like, yeah, I went to every floor, and like there's like bands playing. Man, not to go into too much of a tangent, but it is a wild place. If anybody ever goes there, I would recommend Robert's Western World. But everything else on that strip is crazy. So yeah, no paranormal, but there is a Kid Rock themed bar.
We're in Tennessee, and all is as it should be on a warm, clear September afternoon. David Lang and family are enjoying the nice weather on their farm just on the edge of Gallatin in Sumner County. David Lang is a devoted father, and he's watching his two young children playing at the front of the farmhouse, George, 8, and Sarah, 11. They play happily with a wooden wagon and horse toy that David brought back from Nashville that morning. David's wife, Emma, comes outside and joins the group. David takes the opportunity, and Emma is there, to cross his field and check in on his horse at the other side of the farm.
Not the toy horse, a real horse.
Right, a real horse, yeah. Of whose damn kids broken the horse again. No, a real horse across the field.
Got it.
On the farm. I realize this is painstaking detail.
It really
is. It's gonna be very necessary in a second.
I think he's trying to impress you, Jack. He usually breezes past everything.
I'm on the edge of my seat, don't worry.
Usually he starts off being like, there's a Wednesday or something, I don't know. Anyway.
Sorry, it's just, bro, I don't know if you've heard Otherworld, bro, but it's quite thematic. It's quite engrossing. So right. I just think, quick sidebar, but I just,
Jack,
but I just think, this guy's in Hollywood and he's a podcaster. So I just think if me or you could learn a thing or two about podcasting, stop listening, Jack, could learn a thing or two about paranormal podcasting, we could also be in Hollywood.
I don't even know if he is in Hollywood. I think he's just in
California. Hollywood, right?
I'm in East LA, which is slightly different.
God but, damn it.
Kit hangs up the call immediately.
But, you know, Hollywood is more of a general.
It's a vibe. It's a feeling.
It's a state of mind.
Hollywood is 7 stories of Kid Rock.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what Hollywood is, baby.
I mean, in a way, it kind of is. Because, like, it's sort of, if you actually live in LA, you sort of don't want to live in Hollywood. It's really, most of it's touristy. Have you guys ever gone? Have you visited?
Dude, we were just there on tour. We did a show in LA. We're staying in Hollywood. And the only ghost we saw was the ghost of Chris D'Elia's career. Am I right, Jack?
Hey-o.
Okay. Wow.
Zing. Yeah, Zing. He can give it.
Where'd you guys play? Where was the show?
You know, in a little known venue called the Vermont.
I know the Vermont. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big one.
Yeah, man. We actually had some great advice, and the venue were amazing, and they sent us to, I wish I could remember the name of that bar, but it was a sick bar.
It was a cool bar.
What was the vibe? Yeah. Challenge me here.
Yeah, it was, okay, so Coyote Ugly,
okay,
Energy, East LA.
Essentially, half the bar was a car park.
Yeah.
That's how you can describe it. There was a bar inside, and then everyone was just outside in a car park.
I'm saying
drinking.
Coyote Ugly, but I understand
Zebulon.
That
also...
Zebulon?
Zebulon. Well, I think we investigated him in an old episode.
4100?
4100.
It was.
4100.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just there.
That was the after party, yeah.
That's really funny. Okay, yeah, you guys, I mean, I was literally just there the other day.
Dude.
Damn, we missed the invite.
I know. Well, yeah, man, I wish we had set this up earlier. We would have invited you to the show, but next time.
Well, I'm glad you guys had fun. See, look at, I'm investigating already. Crack that case.
This guy's quick with the Google, bro. The family watched as David strolled across the wide, empty plain. Just then, a horse and cart pulled into the yard. Judge Peck and David's brother-in-law had stopped by. They called out to David.
Hey there, David. What a fine day.
David heard them and slowly turned around to look their way. And the moment he locked eyes with them, he instantly disappeared. It was like they had blinked and he was gone, except they saw the whole thing happen in an instant right in front of them. Both men jumped out of the cart and sprinted to where he was standing, thinking he fell in a ditch or a sinkhole. But at the spot, there wasn't even a crack in the earth. Nothing. No disturbance. Not even a bush or a tree nearby.
Jesus.
Emma Lang was now screaming in hysterics and the children were terrified. David Lang had disappeared without a trace.
This is just a man leaving his family. This is a man abandoning his wife and kids.
Intergalactic pack of smokes.
His boy picked him up in the cart and they left.
This is, I think even for us, this is maybe a pretty extreme start to a story. Jack, Rory, where are your heads at?
This one is kind of freaking me out. I don't like the fact that he just disappeared and there's nothing left. I think even if there was like a smoldering patch of grass or something, I'd be like, okay, what's going on here?
Or you at least want to see a portal go, suck him in and then go, but just to...
Yeah, I don't know why that's way more terrifying to just be like, he's gone, completely gone with no explanation. We've investigated time slips before where someone kind of blips out of the current day and the next thing you know, they're in the past. But even those stories are usually from the perspective of the person that blipped.
Yeah.
This is from the perspective of the blippies, not the blipper.
That is why I'm currently... sticking to my guns that this is a man who had to just dip out. He had to go start a new life somewhere, which sometimes you gotta get rid of the things in life that are holding you back. You know, things that are dragging you down. Okay, Hollywood tip number one.
You're taking this in a dark way.
Sometimes that's your wife and kids. If they're bad vibes, you gotta get rid of them.
You sound a hell of a lot like Rory. Rory's got 13... kids from ex-wives of his.
Oh, I've blipped before, brother. Yeah, that's why I had to leave Northern Ireland. I like the idea of this guy blipping out of reality and the family turn and there's just like a human-shaped hole in the cornfield next to them and like, oh right, he ran.
He comes back with like one of those Looney Tunes style jugs of whiskey. Completely empty. It says XXX on the side.
Yeah. So you're saying, because what I'm saying is David vanished from existence in front of everyone's eyes. What you're saying is Emma didn't see it. The kids didn't see it. It was the friends saw or the brother-in-law saw it. And you're saying this is a cover-up by his mates or his family.
Oh, so I didn't even catch that. It was the brother-in-law that saw it?
As far as I'm aware, it was the whole family.
Oh, okay.
Maybe not the kids, but his wife, his brother-in-law, and I actually don't know if this guy was really a judge or if his name was just Judge. Anyway, a guy called Judge. They all saw it. This is in front of their eyes, gone.
Hey, you know, I like this. This is kind of in line with spontaneous human combustion, something that is just happening. I think what we need to know now is a bit more context or explanations. Or has this happened before to other people?
Yeah, and you mentioned time slips. We've covered those in the past. The Liverpool time slips where people more... I mean, it is similar in the sense of it's so instant, but as you say, they tend to come back. And then maybe the only other one I could think of was the Philadelphia experiment. That was supposedly to do with technology, but this ship and all the people on it just vanished like they were just cut, like photoshopped out of a
movie and then just reappeared again in a different place, I think, with the naval soldiers fused to the deck of the ship. All right, as I say, the family are now losing it and a search party has been organized. But as hard as these neighbors searched, and the search went on for a month, David was nowhere to be found. A surveyor was even hired to do geological testing in case he somehow fell down, quote, an old mine shaft.
It's pretty naive to think a big search party with flashlights and dogs are going to find this dude.
Sort of optimistic.
You might as well hire an astronomer to point a telescope into the stars, and you'll have just about as good a chance right. of seeing him again. He's gone. You need to search the quantum realm with Ant-Man, not get a detective from the local police department.
Yeah, in the 1880s, they do not kind of remotely have the tools to deal with the situation.
No.
100%. Interesting. I mean, I still stand by my theories, you know. I agree that they were searching the wrong place.
They need to search the local watering hole.
Or the not local one. You know, Kentucky, go one state over.
Jack, were you hurt? This is a common theme. This is a common theme that you think. You maybe have a low opinion of David, which I don't think is warranted, because I seem to remember in the script I said he was a family man through and through or something like that.
Well, I mean, does he come back?
You're going to have to stay tuned for part two, find out.
Is part two right now?
You're doing two yeah. parts?
No. It's the second half of the podcast.
Okay.
It is now time for part two.
So as I was saying. I guess we'll have to see, you know, it depends, right? Is he actually gone forever? If not, I don't know. I mean, dude, like, honestly, I don't trust the history of Tennessee in the 1800s. These are people who were doing evil deeds back then. I don't trust their word.
Well, I'm glad you've said this, because we will see later on that the records are patchy.
They get a little moonshiny the further back you go.
Okay. Interesting.
The incident caused fascination in the townspeople. They flocked to the field, even though there was, by definition, nothing to see. The Lang family was gripped with fear, and their servants all quit in case they too would be next.
I do love the idea of the police officer at the scene of the crime being like, "Nothing to see here, literally nothing to see here.
I wish there was something to see here."
Okay, wait, so the servants all quit?
The servants quit. Because they thought they were going to be raptured next.
Interesting.
You know, we get into this sometimes, as you say, in the time period, people thought differently. You know, 1880s, I wouldn't be surprised if they're looking at this maybe even through the kind of religious lens or something, that they're now thinking, turns out David was listening to Marilyn Manson in his spare time because Jesus took him off the server, took him off Earth.
Unplugged him.
So maybe they would be next by affiliation or something.
Is that what you think the rapture is? The rapture isn't when Jesus takes you for being bad. He doesn't take you out like going to detention, bro. Isn't it supposed to be good? You want to get raptured.
He takes the good people away. If you stay,
it's
you're
not
bad.
Like it's not like getting arrested. Jesus isn't locking you up for listening to new metal.
All I know is I went to Catholic school. I was only told what I couldn't do, that I was a bad person. I don't know. I just assumed everything. I thought Jesus coming back for the second coming was a threat.
Were you taught by nuns and stuff? Classic style?
We actually did go to a nun's convent for school. Yes, a castle on a cliffside. The nuns had thankfully all retired a few years before we started.
Okay, raptured, so every one of them gone.
They're all raptured?
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about, just seeing as we've brought up school, we've talked a lot about whenever we get interviewed about this show, and sometimes people say, like, what's the origin story? We never really thought there was an origin story, but what kind of started to come up, like in some kind of Freudian therapy, was we did realize that we went to this Catholic school and it was supposed to be haunted by like a f-ing cursed nun or whatever. And we also had a class called Heritage Class, which was, we always say, it was ostensibly to teach Irish heritage and a little bit of the Irish language. But our teacher was mental. And she took it upon herself. I think she kind of rejigged the curriculum a bit. And it was like your recent Patreon episode. It was just... This is a Doolahan. This is a Banshee. This is a leprechaun. Here's how to and survive an attack.
One of the exams I remember involved a section called Draw a Mermaid. And that was it. You were graded on your drawing of a mermaid.
That is so fire.
She was telling us like how to, like, I remember to this day, she was like, if you see a Doulahan, the only way to kill him is to throw a bucket of blood over his disembodied head.
And we're taking notes. Yeah. Like, I'm young enough to think this is going to happen.
Thank God I have a bucket of blood just sitting in the corner of my room just in case, you know?
Yeah, it's slightly antiquated advice.
What is that? I don't even know what that thing is. A Doulahan?
The Doulahan is definitely lesser known.
It's very similar to like a type of headless horseman.
Headless horseman, exactly.
Okay. With an Irish twist, I'd say.
Yes.
Interesting. I don't know any of this shit. Like, that's the thing about Otherworld. People always like will comment on stuff or like email me like, have you read this book? And like, the answer is no before I even see the title of the book. I've not read any of the books. I don't know anything. It's funny that I ended up doing this because it's like, I guess my origin story is just like, I don't really pay attention to this stuff at all and still barely do, you know? Maybe that's what makes it, I think I gotta stay pure. That's my way of not polluting my mind, you know? I could be truly unbiased by being completely uneducated.
I mean, that's very similar to our origin story as well. I think we started this as kind of a joke, being able to claim we were professional paranormal investigators while knowing very little about the subject itself. Of course, ironically, after 7 years, you do become somewhat of an expert on the paranormal. So we've kind of done it accidentally.
I know. I was kind of cracking up in the intro when you guys said you're veteran paranormal investigators, because of course you're kind of joking, but it is like...
Also kind of, yeah, not joking anymore.
No, like you are more qualified than a lot of people that do call themselves paranormal investigators, which is wild. A little bit of a tangent, but yeah, it's like, I'm sure you could relate. The world of the paranormal is just full of characters, you know, for better or for worse.
So David was gone, but as hopeless as it seemed, the trail was not completely cold. It was about a year later before any clue to David's whereabouts could be found. In early August 1881, Sarah and George ventured out into the field to look around. To their surprise, in the exact area of the field where David had gone missing, the grass was unusually tall and in a perfectly symmetrical circle.
You said this was a year later?
Yep.
Okay.
15 feet in diameter, the grass grew completely untouched. The grazing animals had kept the rest of the pasture down, but appeared to leave this circular patch eerily untouched. They felt like there weren't even any insects in the circle. With this strange silence in the air, Sarah approached, and calling into the circle, she asked,
"Father, are you anywhere around?"
She called again.
"Father, are you anywhere around?"
After a second time and with no response, Sarah and her brother decided it was time to return to the house. Disappointed and also disturbed by the overgrown ring, they turned to leave. But then, one last time, she spun around and shouted,
"Father, are you anywhere around?"
Just then...
Help!
Okay.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Why try three times? This was already such a wild idea.
She was like, yo.
She wasn't going to do a third. She was like, ugh. Yeah. Yeah, he's like, hear me twice. He's not going to hear me.
Did she think like he had his headphones on or something? And he was like, oh, shit. Yeah, what? Did you call me?
Can you imagine a year later, he stumbles through the f-ing door. He was like James Franco and... you know, 100 and whatever hours, he was stuck under a rock and he was like, "You guys gave up?" And they're like, "Yeah, we thought you like blipped." It's like, "No, I was under a fucking rock."
Okay, oh, so the God. Implication here is he can still be contacted from Earth to wherever he is now currently existing.
Seemingly so.
All right, there's so, whatever door or portal opened up and swallowed him whole, it's still partially open.
And you guys might not be aware because you're on the podcast, but the listeners at home heard that help was very distant.
Okay.
Very faint, very distant.
This is the point in the case where if I was involved, I would do a little approach called the GoPro monkey approach, where you essentially strap some sort of GoPro live streaming to a monkey's head and put him in the circle and see what happens to the monkey.
100%.
And like an 1800s version of that?
Yes, yes.
A pen and quill, and then David could write something.
Really
then,
good. Yeah. A guy who could draw really good.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I like it, though. Yeah. We've seen this in sci-fi movies, right? It's like there's a kind of arrival style. There's a big wall, and it's like, let's strap a rope around a goat and send it into the void. And
see what happens.
See what happens.
Yeah. I mean, 9 times out of 10, the goat is completely obliterated.
Yeah.
So better to do it first with something small than with a human or a child.
They had heard their father's faint cry in reply. The children sprinted back to the house and alerted Emma. The search party came back and they called out again. But tragically, after several days, the voice only grew fainter and fainter until it was so quiet it could never be heard again. My man is trapped in the f***ing Tesseract in Interstellar. He's banging the glass. Have we come across anything like this before? This has kind of some interdimensional vibes to it, but also kind of ghost behavior. You know, and Jack, I know you've dealt with a lot of ghosts and spirit cases, contact from beyond the veil. Is this typical of that kind of contact, being able to just speak out through the void?
I haven't heard too many things like this before, no.
This is pretty unique for even me. I don't think we've heard of one like this before.
Yeah, just being able to talk. But I mean,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is the thing. Ghosts, even if they're like throwing stuff about your house, they don't usually talk. That's usually where they draw the line.
They could talk, but but not like from the earth. It would just be like, I feel like I've heard it. People will say it appears behind their head or in their head or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Or you see it with EVP. It turns up in electronic voice phenomenon or something like that. You know, you got to crank up a microphone super high and then you hear it.
Yeah, sometimes a ghost will tell you to drink a whiskey. Like,
All right. You're trying to derail it again.
Have you played that clip on the show before?
What clip?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Is it a Zach Bagans one?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I've seen this one before.
It might be the funniest video I've ever seen.
Oh, sorry. I'm being a dumbass. I know the exact one. Oh my God. We never covered that.
No.
I mean, it just wouldn't come up.
Can I derail it and play it?
Okay, go.
Oh, here it is. It's on the Discovery Channel. Sorry, I'm laughing just looking at it. I feel like this is important, and I feel like this is a big moment for your show to be able to like watch this, you know? It's not like it's an exclusive premiere, but I think it's like something that should be on the feed, you know, in the historical records.
They want me to drink another whiskey, dude.
Don't move.
Oh, that's a weird impulse. That is a weird impulse, man.
Billy starts acting very strange and has this sudden impulse to drink more whiskey.
Hey, out of all the times that we've been ghost hunting and stuff, I have never had an impulse. I want to drink that right now. I want another shot of this whiskey right now.
But then you're going to be drunk.
It's the weirdest thing. Like, I want to do it. Can I just do it?
Well, you might get drunk.
No, they're telling me we should do it.
Billy.
Cheers.
That would be your third shot. You've never done this before in a lockdown.
That's three?
That's three shots of whiskey you just did, bro.
It feels good.
That is legitimately one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. Also, the caption, ghost makes him drink whiskey.
Yeah, we got to send you the Derek Acora clip, because it's on the same level of best kind of paranormal clip from a show I've seen in my entire life. It's so funny.
That's the problem with like covering this type of stuff is that so much of it is silly, you know?
A
lot people already don't take this stuff seriously. So when the show's a little silly, it's like, yeah, I don't know. Even the psychic stuff, like, I don't like completely write off the possibilities of mediums or psychics or whatever. But like, even if you're good at that, I have to imagine, like, if you have a TV show, there's temptations to cheat or like to make it easy on yourself, you know? Right.
Oh yeah. I think we only at one point have kind of talked to a producer guy who was a little inside the world of those paranormal TV shows. And he was like, they all fake it, by the way.
100%.
It's completely fake. It's like, none of it is real. They all know it's not real. And you're like, I don't know what I expected. I guess, yeah, yeah, of course it is.
This is like wrestling all over again. You're like, why was I so naive?
Yeah, it's still a little disappointing.
It's frustrating. And just for the record, I go to great lengths to do the exact opposite of that, you know? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would rather delete the show from the entire feed than fake anything or do anything that I thought was fictional in any way.
I wanted to ask that because I heard you say on a podcast or somewhere else that you've been doing it long enough now that, and you've interviewed enough people about their experiences that you said it's easy to tell when someone's telling the truth or not?
Yes. I mean,
I've interviewed
like a ton of people, honestly. I say like the main way is like, most people aren't good storytellers. Most people aren't creative. So when somebody's lying, oftentimes it's just boring. So like, I mean, I find a lot of this material boring in the first place where it's like, you know, I'm inherently skeptical. So the only things that like really lock me in is when I'm like tapped into a person who had like a visceral experience of something they can't explain and their reaction to it. So that doesn't really come with a lie. It's really, really hard to fake that. And so that's one thing. Also, there's just like, it's not like there's a list of things of like tells or whatever, but you just know when somebody's lying. It's pretty obvious. We do a lot of vetting before it even gets to like an interview. And so I don't encounter people who are like lying, trying to like get on the show or whatever, like be deceptive. I don't think, and if I thought that, I have a contract that exists that I could send to people that says like that I am telling the truth and am not being deceptive in any way.
That's crazy.
Like, yeah. I mean, I don't have people sign that most of the time just because I forget, but I've had people sign it before, and I probably should, mostly just to avoid like if somebody did for some reason try to pull an elaborate hoax. Like,
it's just a bluff call. Yeah.
Scare off the liars at least.
Yeah. Which, I to be clear, like, I don't even think people email me lying, you know. I think some people maybe accidentally lie to themselves a little bit, if that makes sense. But I don't think people have emailed me or whatever to deceive, because also like I'm way too curious, so I think the lie becomes more difficult as it goes on, where I always want to talk to people's like mom and dad and like sister, and like whether or not I'm interviewing them on the podcast, I'll like have way too many questions. And I think that I would probably just exhaust somebody if they're trying to like really lie to me. And at the end of the day, for what? I mean, like most of the time these people are anonymous. So
Yeah.
So true. We talk about that all the time, that we have our list of like red flags when it comes to an episode of like, you know, it gets to the end of a UFO encounter and they've like signed a book deal and they're doing a speaking tour and whatever. And it's like, here we go. All right. Because, you know, the monetary gain is just too murky.
What are some examples of that with you guys? Or
here's a great example. There was the house. Wasn't there the house in like Spain or something a long time ago, and there was like faces started appearing in the walls. These weird faces, and they left it 48 hours before they started charging like $5 to see the faces, you know. And it's like, all right, I think we're done here, you know, like we're not getting like journalists in, or we're not getting experts in to try and figure out what's going on. We're just immediately like charging people to see
call
the paranormal
news,
shit.
Yeah,
that's really funny. I mean, get the bag, you know, get the bag.
The bag.
Although, I mean, and it's hard to say, because it's like, I don't know if like speaking places disqualifies people from being credible, but
sure,
it definitely doesn't help. Like, I think there is that the paranormal industrial complex, you know, like the conventions and stuff. I think people get pulled into that world, and you're grouped in with like everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff at those. I've never gone to one, but I know people who have. I've seen enough pictures.
We were just talking about going to one for the first time. We're trying to pick one to be the first one we ever visit, just to deep dive into that insanity, you know.
It's interesting. I feel like it's easy to tell, and I mean, even not to poo-poo, but like even this story, it's like I have a hard time believing even a word of this, just given the nature of how it's written in this.
This is unbelievable.
Strange,
this is unbelievable. This,
well, not even
I
that
agree,
part.
Jack.
It's just like
I
the
agree.
Weird, like the weird you style know. In which it's written. It's like this third person.
Yeah, the storytelling and the
omnipresent.
Writing.
Well,
like,
shocking.
Well, maybe if my co-investigators would wait until the end of the day, they would understand why it's written in the third person.
All right, well, let's hear it.
It's written like a story.
It is written
like a story.
There's
no quotes or details of anybody's thoughts.
Hey, drop the ball.
Sorry, there aren't quotes. Father, are you anywhere around? I think that was a direct quote from Sarah, I'm pretty sure. Okay, I'm getting roasted. This is complete bullshit.
You just completely made it up. You've run out of paranormal stories because you've done too many episodes.
I'm like asking you, I'm like, how can you tell when someone's lying? Because I'm worried. No.
Yeah, you're getting defensive. You're like, I actually think it's written great. I think this is great writing. Honestly, I think person shows a lot of promise. Maybe should be a screenwriter.
Oh, God damn it. I didn't even write the shit. Oh, God damn it. Well, one of the coolest and craziest things I think about this story is how strongly believed this is by the townspeople of Gallatin today and in this county. Unfortunately, there aren't great records from this time period in the county, so we don't have a birth certificate with David Lang on it. As Roy said, it got a little moonshiny after a couple of years.
Sure.
But the story has stayed very strong via word of mouth in this area. This has really captured the imaginations of people in this town. To this day, they can point to the location of the disappearance, of where the patch of grass was, and ironically, it's now in a sand bunker on the town's golf course.
Really?
Oh, okay. Yes. So it really hasn't been preserved.
You gotta golf. As lifelong Gallatin resident Sally Rob Greer put it, quote, "I think it's odd that it would be perpetuated for that long if something hadn't happened."
Okay, well, she said it. She said it. So I'm back on board, honestly. I trust Sally. Back on board.
I think I'm just confused Sally. At this claim that everyone believes in it so much and it's so important to the culture, and then they built a golf course on top of it. Like, those feel like very different ways of treasuring a moment in your town's history.
Yes. They I wouldn't say they cherish it, but they believe it, and they think this is like their local ghost story or whatever.
They're like, "We'll always remember the spot where it took place. It's where that Taco Bell stands now.
It's around hole 12 on the back nine." Yeah.
People believing in something for a long time, making it right, is not a great line of thinking to have in Tennessee, especially when you're discussing events that occurred in the 1800s.
That's very true.
There's a lot of things they were doing in that area.
I think there's more things that they are trying to pave
over. There's a lot of things
over.
They believed that were not great. We're not okay. I think I'm going to disagree with Sally there.
Jack's coming for the Southern listeners from his coastal elite podcast studio.
How many? Do you guys have a lot of Tennessee listeners? They'll respect me.
I would think not.
I was actually born in Georgia.
There's like,
so we
really?
We carry some credit with the Southern
That's
listeners,
true. That
believe
is true.
It or not.
Were you were born in Georgia?
Born in Georgia and then grew up in Northern Ireland with this guy over here. So, yeah,
wow.
A little bit of both.
When did you move to Ireland?
When I was about 4 years old.
Okay.
Yes. So not a long time. Didn't even have my first sip of moonshine.
We have a Southern perspective in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
And I'm not I'm from the Midwest, so I'm not a true coastal elite. Although Chicago is not exactly the South, but you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Kit calls himself a coastal elite, but that's the north coast of Northern Ireland.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, pretty much all coast, right?
Yeah, so. It is.
You're never too far. Yeah.
That's really funny.
It's all coast and then a small patch of grass in the middle where a guy disappeared 200 years ago.
We're all trying to get as far away from the bit in the middle. That's right.
By the way, correction for myself is that...
Go on.
I realize that you're reading from some kind of like script of sorts that was compiled of this story. I thought you were reading an article. I thought you were reading like the main story. So sorry to
criticize. You don't have to cut him slack. Don't worry. It's bad so far.
Okay.
No, the writing is a podcast script. Sounds good.
Yeah, podcast script based on...
Right.
I can't see your
delivery.
I see you behind a laptop. I don't know what's on the screen. I'm imagining... Like
BuzzFeed.
ScaryTennessee.com.
Yeah.
You know, with like I'm imagining like a black and white picture of a farm.
Dude, we don't f about over here. We got a light, we got microphones, we got someone wrote a
hoop.
Script.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We did forget to take the basketball hoop down. That's supposed to be another sound panel. But
so
besides
it's
the point.
Distilled information. So my apologies to whoever wrote that. I will not eliminate the story based on the vibe of the text. There's nothing.
What we're establishing here is the script itself is good. It is the voice and the delivery of it. And
the delivery
the pacing
is great
of the story that's just
delivery
a,
is great
a car
too.
Crash.
I thought if this was the original story, I would be highly suspicious just based on the way it was written.
I would say you should be suspicious. Okay. The disappearance of David Lang. is a cherished. I can't believe I just said it's not cherished. You were like, well, they cherished this. I was like, no one said cherished. And then the next sentence is, the disappearance of David Lang is a cherished paranormal tale in Tennessee. And one we've got to get to the bottom of today. There are a bunch of potential theories and explanations about what happened. We're going to get into all of them right after a couple words from today's sponsors.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Guys, what the f*** was going on back in 1880 on David Lang's farm? We're going to dive into the paranormal possibilities. Theory one, and stay with me here, UFO abduction. When NPR investigated this, don't laugh.
We're
already at the bottom of the barrel.
Okay. Oh my God. When our good friends over at NPR investigated this story back in 2007, they spoke to the mayor of this town. And he said, quote, they described what we today would believe to be an alien abduction. They described it to a T.
No, they didn't. Who did?
The story. He vanished. The possibility here is, was he abducted by aliens, teleported onto an alien craft? But in 1880, they didn't have the language or the frame of reference for that.
Yeah, I mean, we've investigated a ton of abduction cases before, and never has it been an instantaneous blip where the person being abducted has just disappeared. If anything, it's usually quite a traumatic experience.
It's usually quite drawn out, actually.
Where someone their skin is burnt off of their flesh with radiation and there's a light coming down, and it's quite a traumatic experience. It's not just kind of a pop and you're gone.
It's a good point. What say you, Jack?
I agree. Yeah, I wouldn't go to aliens right away with this. I mean, I guess they have the ring of grass. Why would it be a year later, you know?
Yeah. Also, anytime we've had cases where UFOs or crafts have interacted with the Earth, the what's left behind is usually a patch of grass where shit doesn't grow.
Yes.
You know, or the trees and vegetation is kind of mutated in a strange way. It doesn't grow extra long.
It's mutated into growing extra long.
To be fair, that could be something. Yeah, I don't know.
You would make a good point, though. That is something we look for in UFO cases, which is an interaction, some kind of physical evidence left on the landscape, which we have a little bit of. 15 feet wide? Is this an invisible saucer?
Yeah, it's tough.
me. Tough crowd today. God damn it. It's tough. This is tough.
I'm still sticking to my original explanation.
Okay. All right. Stay with me. That one didn't land. Theory two, interdimensional travel. This seems the most obvious. Our patch of overgrown grass in the field. Is there a warp in space-time that David stepped into, wrenching him into a parallel universe? Local reporter in the town, Kitty Kulikowski, said, it could be like the Bermuda Triangle.
I think I resonate more with this one, just kind of a blip, a freakout in the space-time continuum. Just something not connecting properly and someone just popping out of existence.
Like time slips.
I know it basically was a creepypasta, but we, not too long ago on the podcast, investigated the concept of the back rooms.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool, the idea that someone could essentially hit a glitch in the real world and, like, noclip out of existence and end up somewhere else.
I like that.
It's very cool. So, you know, this is maybe kind of an old-timey version of it, but it's a decent explanation. I would buy that over an alien abduction.
I think he was in the back rooms, all right. Back rooms of some kind of saloon or...
the back rooms of Kid Rock's 7-foot party bar.
Yeah. This is interesting, though. You keep going. I don't want to distract you.
We do know that animals are reported to have sixth senses that we don't have. We did hear that they were staying away from this patch of grass. That's why the grass was there, was because they weren't eating it. They were staying away from the site of the disturbance. Were they staying away because they could sense something we couldn't?
Mm.
Is it this portal?
Right, in the same way people believe that cats can see ghosts.
Yes.
You're saying, is there some kind of thing that the animals are seeing that we aren't seeing?
Of course, on this Paranormal Life, we want to tell the whole story, and we always try to look at rational explanations for what could have happened too. There is always the possibility that without detailed records in this area or physical evidence, that this is just a legend or a hoax. One Tennessee librarian, Herschel Payne, looked deep into this story, and they believe they've cracked it. They allege that the story was actually written as a piece of fiction by a writer called Joseph Mulhattan. Now, don't get excited. No, here we go. All right, we're gonna. This is me telling this bit of story is like hiking the f***ing, you know, the edge of Everest, where it's like one false move either way, and this story crumbles.
Okay,
right.
Yeah.
All right, stay with me here. By a fiction writer called Joseph Mulhattan. He was a well-known hoaxer who in the early 1970s entered a lying competition.
Just stop now. Just stop reading now and let's go to conclusions. A lying competition? That's not even a real thing. He lied about it. He lied. He entered. There's no such thing.
Oh, shit. He lied about entering the lion competition. I didn't even think of that.
He said he won.
I hope he won. It's still working. He has
God,
people on a...
Jesus Christ.
He might have entered a lion competition by telling a story about a farmer that went missing in Sumner County. Is it the same farmer? I don't believe that story was actually ever written down, but there is another story from 1893 by Ambrose Pierce called The Difficulty of Crossing a Field, which has a lot of similarities about a farmer going instantly missing, but it begs the question.
A second fictional story, just to be clear?
Yeah, earlier than the lion competition too.
All right.
It begs the question, were they inspired by the real events of David Lyon going missing?
What if in the very beginning I was like, this sounds really familiar to the short story by Ambrose Pierce from 1833 called The Difficulties of Traveling in a Field?
I would have deleted that from the final edit, Jack. I would have said, yeah, amazing insight, Jack, and then deleted it.
Or, like, what you could do is maybe insert it in the beginning to make me sound smarter. I give you a wild line that's like, you know, this sounds a lot like a short story I read from 1833 by Ambrose Pierce.
Now, that would work until you said, I think, 15 minutes ago, if someone asked me whether I read a book, the automatic answer is no.
Well, this is a short story. You know,
okay, it is not a novel. Yes. Technically. It's digestible. You know, this is,
you know, but people would be impressed. They're like, wow, Jack reads a lot of ancient Southern literature.
Yeah, he's big into his 1880s stuff.
I love that your defense regarding the first story that was told at a lying competition was the fact that you don't think it was ever written down. And that's it. It still could have been.
The lying competition wasn't written down.
The story told.
I think he told it.
The fact that I would say that, like, if there's anything to disqualify somebody's credibility, it's that if they've been in a lying competition, which I didn't even know existed.
What is the judging criteria?
I guess if it's a good lie, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's like that party game you play. I don't know what you call that, but yeah, when everyone tells a lie.
Oh, and, like two truths and a lie?
Yeah, exactly.
One,
I guess that's kind of like a lying competition.
The problem is that, like, all the people who entered it are probably going around telling people that they won the competition.
Right, so that's the final test.
It really takes away from the glory of winning, you know?
Yeah, as Rory said, the competition didn't exist. He lied about entering also.
Well, and if you win, you probably wouldn't tell people that you won because you would not want them to know you're a liar. So it's
you'd lose it, yeah. That's a really good point. The judges will be like, hey, you excited to be here today? You're like, no.
I'm not here.
Have we started
today.
Yet? I don't.
Yeah.
You could tell I would be bad at that competition because if I were good at lying, I wouldn't have said any of the stuff that made this case bad.
Yeah.
True.
Okay. So what do we think about this one?
Are there any more explanations before we kind of...
There are not.
Okay. I like how you guys are still entertaining paranormal explanations after the lion competition. Was there even, so, like... My question is, like...
dudes.
This wasn't even that long ago. Like, where's his family? Like, is the family around? Like, where's David Lang's family?
Really good question.
1880 was not that long ago.
It's a long time. It's a long time, guys.
Also, there was very little to this story. A man disappeared and we didn't know where he went. Then we took an ad break and it was like, what do you think happened? It's like, there's not more? I thought
he blipped.
He was only one of a group of individuals who have disappeared in the past. Or yeah, I thought there was going to be like a whole thing that this was a phenomenon.
What didn't you get about me saying he vanished instantly? The story's over in an instant. It's a miracle I stretched it into an hour-long podcast.
Well, let me spin the tables on you guys. What I assume a lot of your episodes are like this, right? Goofing around, sort of silly stories from the past. Which ones, are there any ones that you have done on here where it got a little serious, where you're like, oh shit, like this is pretty crazy. This might be real.
Dude, all the time.
There's something here. Which ones?
We're kind of guilty. We tend to gravitate towards more UFO stories and alien stories. So okay. I think we've had a couple in the past. We had the Shag Harbor incident that took place in Canada. We had, you did one recently, the Florence UFO, where a UFO appeared in front of a football stadium full of people. Really crazy stuff. But then we've also had some ones regarding cursed objects that have been really interesting. And we're always a little skeptical of kind of the poltergeists and the cryptid cases. But now and again, even a few of those, we give a double yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the one that gets the least love from us, or is, we believe is the hardest to prove, is often those ghost cases, which I feel like you cover a lot of stuff in that realm of ghosts or spirits. Do you think that's true? Do you think that's like harder maybe because there's less physical evidence?
Oh, of course, harder to prove, 100%. I mean, we don't even know how you would prove it, right? Because we don't know what a ghost is. So that's like another funny thing from my vantage point doing this. Like an annoying comment is always like, why didn't they pull out their camera? Did they think about setting? Like, by the way, regardless of like what time period this took place, people are always like, why didn't they set up a video camera?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is funny because it's like, dude, have you looked at video footage from before 2008? Terrible. Yeah. It would be useless. I tried to shoot a ghost documentary in high school and I thought I captured something, but in reality it's like 3 pixels of content. Yeah. It's not like, it doesn't look like anything no matter what. But, you know, we don't know what ghosts are. We don't know if it can be photographed, right? A lot of things can't be. It might be because cameras only capture a very limited amount of the light spectrum, right? Especially digital, which is why video up until recently had that look to it where the sky would just be white, you know, like on all home video cameras, only a very limited range of light. But so, yeah, we don't know like how you could even capture that, but it doesn't mean that it's not real. And also on the converse, like AI is improving every single day. So we're rapidly approaching the point where like, even if you did have a photo, what would that do? Right.
Yeah.
But that's why I like talking to people and focusing on first person stories, you know, because it's like I can always ask them, I'm hearing what they went through, how it affected them, regardless of what you think about what happened to them. It usually affected them in a profound way. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to them. So I'm always interested in hearing it from the person themselves, right? Even if it's true, even if David Lang disappeared, right? It's very easy to be like, this is a man who ghosted his family to go to a saloon, but it'd be very different if you're talking to somebody from his family, or obviously we can't. It was in 1880, but it's just, there's just
welcome
something
to the call, Emma Lang's great-grandson. You're going to feel like here. Shit
get her in
a minute.
There. But yeah, I mean, all of this is so weird. You need like first-person testimony, right?
Yeah, it's funny. We just a few weeks ago did a Valentine's Day special for the podcast. And for that case, we investigated a man called David Huggins, who is an individual who claims to have lost his virginity to an alien. And it's the exact same thing where it's like when you look at when you hear the story and like read about it, it's a very funny idea and you laugh about it. And then there's a whole documentary where you can just listen to him tell his stories and stuff. And immediately you're like, well, I do feel a little differently now that I'm like listening to his testimonies and stuff.
No, I joke, but like there are a lot of stories out there like that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, because I was listening to Other Worlds, you know, and you had on, one of your recent ones, you know, you were talking about how much you love NDEs, near-death experiences.
Yes, yes.
Which we love, of course, and we've covered in the past. And on one of your recent ones, you had in the valley, this guy who, I'll not ruin it for the listeners, but had a near-death experience and had a pretty amazing experience of a kind of heavenly or purgatorial plane. And it was cool to see in your Reddit community, like, how, like, just as you're saying, that it's way more impactful to hear these stories firsthand, because I saw on Reddit people were like, man, this is like some life-affirming stuff.
Interesting to hear that there's Reddit saying something nice about the podcast. When I talk about something I don't read is that
you're like, that's paranormal, let me tell you.
Oh dude, I have said multiple times is that I would rather have a poltergeist in my house than have to read the Reddit comments about me every single day.
Jesus.
Because we have so many listeners, and like Reddit inherently is just like usually where people go to like leave Yelp style complaints about my response to most things that are, it's all usually negative. And anytime I read it, I'll get so hung up on it. It's like nearly positive 4.9 star rating on iTunes or whatever, but I'll hear some deranged comment on Reddit or read one and let it bother me, you know.
guys, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I think we've heard a pretty fascinating tale today. well, it's pretty hot in here, in this here courtroom down in Tennessee. We've heard a great story. I think we can all agree on that. It's been pretty compelling. There's been dialogue.
Short, I'd say.
Okay. The wolves are at the door. At the end of every episode of This Paranormal Life, we have to decide whether a given case is really paranormal or not with a final yes or a no. Now, normally, that would be with Judge 1 over here, Judge 2 over here, and it would be either a double yes or a double no or a disagreement. What we want to do on this episode is we've got another expert paranormal investigator in the mix right now. We want to hand this one directly over to Jack, overrule these two judges, give us a yes or a no on whether you think the disappearance of David Lang is truly paranormal or not.
Yes.
What? No.
Oh, I mean, dude, guys, think about it. Think about
my
it.
My heart was in my
think
chest.
Think about it. The guy who wrote this was in a liar's competition.
Yeah.
Easy to think this is a lie. No, that's too simple. If he's a real champion liar, it's going to be a double, maybe even triple lie. So that he's telling you something true from an untrustworthy vantage point on purpose to hide the truth from you. So, you know, maybe this is... Maybe,
my third eye
maybe
is open.
The storyteller was David.
You know? That's who... What
maybe
I say
that
his
in the
name was Humbert
competition.
Lierson.
Okay. Wait.
No, I'm trying to remember his...
even if his first name was Humbert, we shouldn't believe him.
Yeah,
forget liars.
I believed you for a second. And I was thinking
of the librarian Herschel Payne. Okay. No, the liar was Joseph Mulhattan.
Okay.
So all right, we
so,
lost.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
It's understandable. You know, you've seen some pretty as you said it yourself. It's easy to know, drop of a hat, whether a case is true or not.
So yeah, I mean, I don't think this is. Based on the information, I think we all know this is probably...
That's safe to say.
And I think, obviously, we're not getting a vote from Rory this week, but I'm sure Rory would have been more on my side if he had the opportunity to vote.
If your side is also no, then you are right. I would have
all right,
also.
Moving on. Well, I've learned my lesson. I just need to... Next time I'm researching a case, I need to just control F... search for the term liar in the case first.
Liar and, competition, yeah.
And not cover the case if that happens next. But I hope you guys have enjoyed this investigation into the disappearance of David Lang. It is just one of many here in This Paranormal Life, and one of many that Jack has been covering over on Otherworld. I did want to say, I mean, you are... The show started in 2022, so you are still relatively... new to the world of the paranormal. How's that been?
100% new. It's been cool. I'm just like figuring it out as I go. I don't know if my beliefs have changed too much. I've become a little bit more open-minded for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's the path we all go on.
It's it's interesting doing a show. I mean, this is a show that's more serious than I'm used to doing, you know? So that's a big change for me. But it's cool. I mean, to me, it's like not that different than just telling regular stories from people, or I don't treat it any differently. So that's mostly my focus, but it's fascinating. I'm like I said, I'm not into the paranormal as like a hobby.
Yeah, because for any of our listeners tuning in, and if they're not already familiar with Otherworld, it's fair to say, Jack, that's almost what makes Otherworld kind of compelling, and your story is interesting. And dude, you've been everywhere over the last year with like in newspapers and profiles and stuff, because it is a cool story, because Jack's background is in, well, multiple different things, but including you spent a long time podcasting at Yeah But Still, a great podcast, but more kind of comedy. But then you were almost pulled into the paranormal, almost by accident.
No, 100%. Yeah, I mean, it was just like started making Halloween specials for that show for fun. And I just realized how many of these were out here, and like the stories weren't really getting told in a way that were believable, even if I thought the stories were credible, you know. There just wasn't like a home. I wanted to just create a home for some of these stories. And my hope was that if I do a good job, more stories would come, and increasingly intense ones. And so far that's been working, which is pretty cool. We get crazy, amazing stories all the time, but the timing isn't always right. So a lot of times we're just like putting it into a folder where it's like this category and something that we need to record. And sometimes I circle back way late with people and end up interviewing them, or like sometimes something's just really, really weird. I don't know what to do with it. And I kind of save it in case I get something similar down the road where all of a sudden it all makes sense. But it's fun. Like reading them is fun. It's just like, it takes a lot of time.
Yeah, man. Well, dude, Otherworld is a fantastic show that I highly recommend that any of our listeners check out. It's absolutely in the wheelhouse of, the more earnest and deeper side to the paranormal that we touch on here at This Paranormal Life. So, Jack, why don't you tell the good people where they can find everything Otherworld?
You could listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. I think we're, everywhere. We're at Otherworld Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, mainly Instagram and TikTok. I don't really use the Twitter too much. But and if you have a story, you could send it to stories@otherworldpod.com. Please make it less than 30 pages for our but do tell us the story. I mean, if anybody has a good one, we're always looking, right? Like, we really do read all of the emails. It's just to process for sure.
Do you have a favorite episode you would recommend for first-time listeners?
Good idea.
All of the multi-part ones are obviously my favorite because I made it multi-parts, but
yeah.
For your audience, like, let me think. People love Kareem and the Djinn. That's a popular one. Sean John's iconic one for me. I think your audience might like that. Sean and Gina, and then Obscure Gods is the two episodes.
You guys heard it first. We have a number of suggestions of starting points. Jack, thank you so much for joining us today on This Paranormal Life.
Thanks for having me, guys. Talk to you guys later.
As I say, I hope you have enjoyed this investigation into the disappearance of David Lang. That was fantastic to get Jack's insight into it all. But if you couldn't get enough of this episode, or you couldn't get enough This Paranormal Life in general, remember that over on patreon.com/thisparanormallife, that is the place that you could support the show and get so much in return.
Oh, yeah. Also, the operation to remove the gobstopper from my throat has left me with a substantial amount of medical debt.
Ooh.
So we do need a little bit of support this month.
Okay,
we
right.
We do need a little bit of support. Mm. And sorry if my voice sometimes sounds a little raspy, because I'm still in the recovery process. Luckily, I was able to keep myself together while Jack was on the call, but now that he's gone,
it's
thank
come
God.
Out of nowhere. And I mean, you God. Did not long ago on an episode, you did shred your vocal cords with hot coffee.
I need to stop ingesting things.
Yeah, clearly. Back to the point in hand. Yeah, Rory needs cash. So why not support the show and get bonus episodes in return? We have about 80 or something of those, something ridiculous, full-length investigations. We have about another 100 again or 80 weekly behind-the-scenes after parties. Also available to listen to alongside a ton of other stuff, rewards. over on patreon.com/thisparanormallife. The link is in the description of this episode.
Did you enjoy this special guest episode? Do you want more guests? What guests do you want? Let us know.
Let us know on socials. Yeah. Honestly. Or email us at the usual place, thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. But as always, we will be back on Tuesday with a brand new paranormal tale and back on Friday with the after party on Patreon. Have an amazing week.
Later, skaters.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.